Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Back to a lot of UNLV-related stuff with conference chaos, which certainly involves the Reno Sparks market with Nevada. We'll have some stories along those lines as well. Justin Watkins, we're here at his studio, the Battleborn Broadcast Center. This hour is always brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyer, 766-1400. Offices in Northern Nevada in the Reno area, downtown Vegas, Summerlin, and Henderson. I almost forgot Henderson. There's a lot to get to. I really had planned on doing like 45 minutes on the conference stuff, so we'll have a good amount of time in the middle of this hour, but it's time for the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
All right, we're going to have a split on this one, I think. I hope. Well, Willie always likes to send in the national days. So National Cooking Day and National Daughters Day. Yeah. We have two dads, but we only have one girl dad, unless you haven't told us about something, Willie.
No, I do. I have a very close friend who lost her father when she was 12. And we met a few years later while she was going to school with Jordan. And I've kind of...
Does Pops serve as a mentor?
Pops served as a mentor. She's
Pops
actually...
Pops Ramirez, Pops Willie.
She's become a successful model in town. She was actually one of the young ladies that was all made up during the Noche UFC.
Really?
Yeah, one
Those
of the
are great costumes.
Girls. She actually had the most out of all the videos that ESPN and UFC and they were putting out. They kept putting her out. And there was one point where they mentioned her on the broadcast, Hannah. So anyway, after this, yeah, we are going to, we once a month, because she lives way out by the M, so we are going to have dinner tonight for National Daughters Day.
Yep. Justin, what does it mean for you?
I learned I'm a dodo, dad of daughters only, so I got two daughters.
Nice. Dodo, okay.
No boys. Huh? And unfortunately, I didn't know it was National Cooking Day. I didn't know it was National Daughters Day. And as soon as we sign off here, I'm running to the airport and leaving while my kids have to go to school tomorrow and I'm going to be out of town. So I'll have to make it up for them when I get back. I do often cook for them, but that now that I know this day, it's a great day for me to cook a meal for my daughters. They like when I cook. They especially like, this is one of my proud dad moments, when I cook elk meat. I just got back from an elk hunt, unsuccessful, but I have some left over from last year, so I'll cook them up some elk steaks.
Well, you know what you could get them? Because I plan on taking one on my way out, is I'm going to grab an extra large of the Performance Battle Born tea downstairs.
Yeah.
So make sure that the receptionist knows not to call the police. Wow.
Just grab anything you want. Yeah. By the way, my...
Those are nice. I liked it.
My description on this day is a dink. Have you heard that one?
No.
Double income, no kids.
I thought it was going to be daughter I never knew.
Good point. Could be the case. Yeah. I've been dying to do that that DNA check. No, dink. Dink. All right, number three.
Number three.
So your guy, Avery Young, did not play well for K-State. All of a sudden, BYU looked... Avery Johnson, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, BYU looks like one of the favorites. Or maybe Kansas State is just way overrated. Everyone has a different reaction to Provo.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Provo. I've been to Salt Lake. I actually thought it was a lot more kind of... Normal's not the right word. Like, I don't know. Is provincial a bad word? Whatever. I could drink there, okay? Logan always throws me off. I don't feel right there. Avery Johnson?
Avery, who I caught up with here during Big 12 media days, he had said, that was probably one of the weirdest environments I've been a part of. It was like their fans were encouraging almost. Most of the time, fans try to heckle you or say bad things about
really?
You before the game, but all their fans were encouraging. It was just a different environment to be in. He continued by saying, after the game, people were saying, good job, or keep your heads up. It was just weird because fans don't say that after the game, especially after they beat you like that. Definitely something I've never been a part of and never experienced. I probably won't experience something like that again.
Well, that's interesting because I saw a bunch of BYU fans last night laughing at UNLV. That's what I'm used to.
Yeah, there is a particular hatred between UNLV and BYU.
Well, what do I say all the time, right? Utah and Nevada, good versus evil, and we know who good is.
UNLV.
I will say my experience with BYU fans is they talk a lot of trash without any expectation that it'll ever get physical, because it's just not part of their culture and community that they actually the fights actually happen. It's like, dude, you can't say that. That's gonna result in something. I will say I've had a very similar experience as a fan when I went to an away stadium. Oregon State played LSU back when LSU was ranked number one. Jamarcus Russell was there. Oregon State ended up losing by a point after missing three extra points in the game. I was at that game, and the fans coming in and coming out were awesome. Awesome. Wow. Afterwards, keep your heads up. We're going to be cheering for you. You guys are great fans, all that stuff. So shout out to LSU fans.
I went to, in 2014, went to Cleveland. Never had been there, and I had some friends. People were like, what are you going to vacation in Cleveland? I was like, first of all, I know a lot of people there. Second of all, I want to drive down to Canton and see the Hall of Fame. I end up going to a Browns game, coincidentally, against the Raiders. They play this weekend. Cleveland Browns fans are some of the nicest, coolest, funnest fans to be around. I had a great time that day at the stadium. So I was surprised.
Number two.
Number two.
All right, Willie, what's happening with WNBA today? We've got a meetup between developing rivals. Maybe they're just straight-up rivals.
They are 100% rivals because they opened the season against one another, Indiana, Connecticut, game two. And, of course, the talk since game one has been the unintentional...
Oh, right off the bat with the word.
Eye tap from Dejanay Carrington. And the intentional elbow from Caitlin Clark to Dejanay's eye, knocking the contact out. So,
oh God.
Media was at practice yesterday. They interviewed both of them.
Did they ask Dejanay about her boo?
Dejanay said that she did not. What else is she going to say? Of course she's going to say she didn't intentionally do it. Caitlin said it wasn't intentional. It was a basketball play. Listen.
High road versus lying.
Dejanay is going to definitely say that it was unintentional. Caitlin's going to take the high road. I had a problem that nobody asked about Caitlin Clark swinging her elbow in the opposite direction and nailing it in Dejanay's eye. Elbow.
Your interpretation of that video is way off.
Your interpretation is that she gouged her eye.
The thing I got from that whole play, and I was watching it live when it happened, is Dejanay grabbing the contact off the dirty floor in her hand, throws it right in her eye.
I said that the other day.
Yeah, I mean, I've been that athlete before. I was a wrestler, and the wrestling mat is the furthest thing from clean.
Yes,
and you lose a contact. I felt I had to, you know, put it back in. So my move was to throw it in my mouth.
Rinse it in my mouth,
and then put it in my eye.
That was the move ever since I wore. Before, they were the soft. They had gas permeable. They were these little tiny. They were tiny, and they fit inside the pupil harder lens. There was like a plastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they said if it comes out, you put it in your mouth, and you swish it around with the saliva and pull out, and that's when you put it in. She picked it up, went right in her eye. Yeah. I was like, that's an eye infection waiting to happen.
For sure.
I will say I appreciate how competitive both of them are.
Yep.
Yeah, it's you know
they
what?
They don't like each other, and you can Dejanay's been more open about it. Caitlin Clark has tried not to speak into the narrative.
Hey, you know what?
They do go at it.
Let's put it this way. If this were to be going down, this whole quarterback left UNLV situation, and I'm going to get to the point of Dejanay and Caitlin, if UNLV wasn't relevant and they didn't go to a bowl game last year and they weren't 3-0 this year and they weren't in the votes and they weren't this would be a side story. They wouldn't be mentioning on Unsportsmanlike this morning or SportsCenter or national news. This would be a blip going, UNLV who? But because it was what it is, guess what? All news is good news. That's relevant. Same thing here. The fact that we're talking about on the day that the Liberty and the Aces clinched for a rematch of the finals, but yesterday the news dominated Caitlin Clark, Dejanay Carrington, the Fever, the Sun, and it's an ongoing, the narrative is good.
And this could very well be the last day that we see an audience in excess of a million viewers watching a WNBA game for the rest of the playoffs.
That's a bet I'll take 100%. You're wrong.
Are you saying the Liberty
and the Aces will draw the same viewership.
The same?
Well, yes.
Oh, okay. I'll take that bet.
What do you think? What do you think the Liberty and the Aces, the finals last year averaged about 805,000 per game. Now, viewership is up. What do you think the series will average per game? Let's see if we can really set a number here.
700.
I think it's going to be higher.
It's
going to
be higher.
I'll go with 975,000.
Ooh, just under.
Average per game.
You're going to go 1.1.
You don't have to go 1.1. Just go over. So you're going to go over an average of 975 per game.
Yeah, I'll go over that.
All right.
975 even.
Well, an average of 975,000 per game. You're saying it's going over. I say it's going under.
My 700 is conditioned on Caitlin Clark exiting the playoffs today.
Yes, that's what we mean.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Okay, top story.
Number one.
Willie, Pac-12 sues Mountain West over invalid and unenforceable fees. You've really been into this.
Yeah.
And you've been following this as closely as anyone literally in the country because you have Oregon State ties. I think you love the conference realignment stuff. And there's been so many examples over the last couple of years of court involvement.
Yeah.
So this one.
I mean, I hope UNLV – and I want UNLV to take the invite and go to the Pac-12. And I think it would be a good move. But it's an interesting move. There's a lot of drama to this. You know, some of it's leaking out, and who knows if it's verified or not. But what we know now as we led up to this is the conversation about extending the scheduling agreement went from $14 million, which the Pac-12 paid to the Mountain West to play this year, six games, three at home and three away for each team. So a total of 12 games, six home, six away. So they paid a little bit over $1 million per game, including when the Mountain West team got to play at home, which is that never happens. You always play the team to come to you, not the other way around. So they got a great deal on the scheduling agreement. Then in the scheduling agreement said, you will, we'll have talks about extending. It has been confirmed by both sides that the Mountain West demanded $30 million to do it next year. And so that not only were they above market with the $14 million, but they went crazy with the $30 million. I think it's reasonable to read the tea leaves to say, and that pissed off the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 started looking at other options and what they were going to do. Pac-12 alleges that the commissioner for Mountain West, Gloria Navarez, was actively blocking her conference teams from scheduling on their own individually, that they would only do it as a group, and that as the negotiations broke down, the Mountain West tried to break up Oregon State and Washington State and bring Washington State to the Mountain West.
They tried to steal Washington State last week.
Yep.
Split them up. Make a proactive move so that they couldn't grab any of the schools because they're not even together anymore.
Yep. So then, obviously, everybody knows what happens. The four top teams historically from attendance and win percentage and revenue standpoint, get taken and go to the Pac-12. And then they're try to go to the AAC. They can't get Memphis, Tulane, UTSA, and USF like they thought they might. So they come back to the Mountain West and they start making some offers. Utah State accepts. Right after the first four teams left, Gloria Navarro sends a letter to the Pac-12. Okay, pay me the $44 million. After Utah State leaves, okay, now you owe me $55 million. And Pac-12 responds and says, we don't think we owe you anything. We think that the exit fees are unenforceable and against the law. And they file suit, and we can break down the legal arguments.
Yep. We're going to get into the possibility that they are not enforceable. We're headed towards a 6 o'clock start of the Barry Odom Radio Show. Flamingo 215, Parkway Tavern. Miller Lite is on special, and anyone who shows up with Rebel gear on for the show.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
That was brought to you by Battleborn Injury Alert. 766-1400 is a number to call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Justin Watkins is here. Willie Ramirez back here in just a second. Cofield. We're going through the conference chaos. We spent a lot of the first hour plus on Matthew Sluka and the beef with UNLV and the messages sent out last night and today. That one seems at least settled in terms of where everyone is going to be. The conference stuff is not settled. No. UNLV is very much in a wait-and-see situation, and that the Mountain West could come unraveled pretty quickly here. But before we get to that, let's get to the Pac-12 claim that, hey, we don't owe Mountain West money. We're not paying these fees, and we're going to sue over it. What leg do they have to stand on? Why? What's the explanation? Hey, we don't owe this money.
Yeah, I'll try to synthesize it into points that could be made and understood by non-lawyers and everybody out there. But they have a strong lead to stand on, and there's a couple different points. The first point is they are suing under antitrust, which is antitrust laws exist so to promote competition and to suppress any anti-competitive behavior. And so they're arguing that this contract of a poaching fee locks, you know, prevents the Pac-12 from competing with the Mountain West in the NCAA governance. And it was only against the Pac-12 and no other conference that they had these poaching fees. And there's antitrust law is volumes and volumes deep, but that's the very basis level of it, is this was anti-competitive behavior. This is an anti-competitive clause, and the court should invalidate it. The second argument that exists there is that courts do not enforce penalty clauses in contracts, true penalty clauses. Now, everybody's going to say, dude, liquidated damages. Hold on, I'll get there. The state of contract law in the United States is this. This is what makes us unique, and some people would say makes us great. You have the freedom to contract, and you have the freedom to break your contract. And when you break your contract, you are liable for the actual damages that that breach of the contract caused. But if you put in the contract some penalties for breaking the contract that have nothing to do with how it's damaged you, right, the court will not enforce those penalty clauses. They'll say that's an invalid penalty clause. And everybody says, but they agreed to it. Yes, they always agree to it, right? Like every time a penalty clause is challenged, the parties agreed to the penalty clause. But that doesn't change the fact that the court will invalidate a clause that's a pure penalty. Now, we've all heard the term liquidated damages. Liquidated damages are different, or they try to be different, than a penalty clause in that they are meant to compensate the non-breaching party for damages that cannot be enumerated. Meaning, we don't know, we can't put a dollar figure on what these damages are, because it's more than just dollars and cents. It's not just economics. There's some other issues at play. A great example would be is if somebody is building the house of their dreams and the contractor leaves in the middle of it. And so you know how much it's going to cost to finish that. Perfect. Those are finite damages. No liquidated damages clause would come into play there because you know exactly what it cost you to finish it. Okay. So in the situation of Oregon State and Washington State and their scheduling agreement with the Pac, with the Mountain West, there was $14 million to play the games. Then there was these a separate addendum for poaching fees that says you can't take any of our teams for this year and for 2 years after this year. And what the Pac-12 has said is that is a pure penalty clause. They called it liquidated damages. They called it a poaching fee, and they said it was liquidated damages. But really, it's actually just a penalty because it had nothing to do with the actual scheduling of games. In fact, in the scheduling of games, you made out like a bandit. You got paid more for your games than you've ever been paid by any other school at any other time in your history to play those games. And you got paid for home games, which never happens. So, and on top of it, you acknowledged in public relations statements that playing games with Oregon State and Washington State was actually good for your conference because it boosted ratings, it boosted attendance, and so it was a good deal for you. So all of the terms of the scheduling agreement are included in that $14 million and the actual playing of games. So what Oregon State is saying is that poaching fee was a totally separate thing that's thrown in that is just a penalty for anti-competitive behavior. That's all it is, and the court should throw it out. Yes, we signed it. We signed it under duress. They knew we were under it. It doesn't even matter if it's under duress. They could have signed it willingly. People do this all the time. Businesses do this all the time. They get a contract, and they're like, I hate that term. Take it out. They say, no, we're not going to take it out. And their lawyer says, it's not enforceable anyway. Go ahead and sign it. That happens every day, thousands of times a day.
Do you think that's what was relayed?
100%.
That this means nothing, ignore it, just do this deal, and you'll be fine.
I think there is reports that both parties acknowledged it may not be enforceable.
Wow.
So But yes, the attorney who's representing them in the lawsuit was their attorney representing them in the settlement, in the scheduling agreement negotiations. So 100% they were like, we could challenge this.
So UNLV waiting right now between the two conferences.
Yep.
Good move, too risky.
Well, it could get risky. I mean, the Pac-12 is not going to wait around forever. There are a lot of things at play, though. You know, is UNLV saying, hey, take us and one more. Air Force goes to AAC. Maybe Air Force could take another one to the AAC and the conference dissolves. Now, everybody's pointing to the bylaws of the Mountain West that say, once you say you're exiting, you no longer have a vote. True, on the Board of Governors. But the vote to dissolve the conference is made by the member institutions. All institutions currently are still member institutions. So they all have a vote on dissolution. So 9 votes is what it would take. That's why, you know, maybe they're considering or trying to lobby and say, take UNLV plus one or more, get Air Force over to the AAC, and then we just dissolve. We dissolve. There's no exit fees. There's no poaching fees. It saves everybody hundreds of millions of dollars.
Pac-12's been down this road before with teams, you know, having controversy, ethical issues, whatever it may be. But with everything going on with UNLV, and as you said, the NC2A has to investigate. They have to look into it. Could they be on the hook? With all this going on, if you were, let's say you're on the legal team of that conference, you go, wait a minute. Do we need to bring in a team? Or is it something like, we've been down this road with plenty of programs in our conference in the past. Is what's going on at UNLV cause any kind of issues if they're being looked at by the Pac-12 or Big 12?
So if I'm an attorney for UNLV in this
conference, the Pac-12 or the Big 12, looking at UNLV, where, hey, we got coaches that are throwing offers out there.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it certainly can't help. It can't help. I mean, if UNLV and the Pac-12 are in negotiations and all signs point to that's sort of happening, you know, the UNLV seeing what they can get out of the Pac-12, you pay my exit fees, will you do this, can you do that? Now it's just a chip to throw on the table and be like, hey, you guys got some problems here.
Right.
You got some real problems. And if we're willing to accept you, you got to acknowledge those problems and lower your asks. Is it really a problem? Will it really affect, you know, in the future how viable they are as a program? Probably not, but you use the leverage that you got, right? And so, yeah, I'm sure it's being discussed.
What do you think San Diego State and Boise especially are thinking? Because they've been wanting to get away from the Mountain West schools, most of them, for 10-plus years.
Well, the cool thing about what Oregon State and Washington State did when they brought in the four is they had an immediate vote for expansion. So no offers being extended without their consent and consideration. So, I mean, I'm sure they don't want to end up in Mountain West 2.0. I'm sure that they wanted to, you know, get those AAC teams and be, I would say, a power conference, you know, higher rated on most Saturday ratings than the ACC. They would be kind of the fourth in power if they had gotten Memphis, Tulane, USF, and UTSA. So, but I think there is room for taking a hit in order to make something work. And what I mean by that is, can we take UNLV and another one? I know it sounds like Mountain West 2, but if we get the votes to dissolve, we save all those hundreds of millions of dollars on the exit fees and poaching fees and litigation. We don't have to worry about any of that. Then we can go back to Memphis, Tulane, UTSA, and USF and say, we'll pay your $20 million exit fee in full. Come on over. Now you've got the conference with, you've got some maybe lower level teams, one or two, but every power conference has that. And you've got all the best of the rest. Like, you will be that fifth automatic bid. You will be it on, you know, 9 out of 10 years, would have to believe.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Last minute, Justin Watkins, Willie, Cofield. If you were looking at the financials, and especially of the past, and you weren't going to use projections and upside, you're an Oregon State guy, so you want this to work?
Yeah.
If you're the Pac-12, do you want UNLV?
I would have preferred that if we would have gotten the AAC teams and called it a day. right there. I think that that would have been a very strong 10-team conference.
What's the problem with the UNLV metrics?
Attendance, revenue. You know, over the course of the last 20 years, when you talk about basketball tournament revenue and bowl game revenue, they are second from the bottom in the Mountain West. San Jose State's the bottom. And so when you look at the actual revenue generated and you look at the attendance at games, there is no doubt that they took the top five teams right now. They are that's 1 through 5, top five in those categories.
Reminder, coming up Friday, we'll be at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We're out there every Friday from 3 to 6. On Saturday, Throw the Flag is back with Danny and Jared, and they'll preview the college football game day and look ahead to pro football, and there is breakfast available, great breakfast items. It's Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
A little more on the conference chaos. Good follows today, last couple days. Pete Thamel, ESPN, Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports. Pete Thamel. Today, 8:52 a.m. our time. Sources. UNLV officials are still analyzing the school's conference future as they are expected to make a choice between the Mountain West and the Pac-12 in the upcoming days. A change of conference requires Nevada System of Higher Education Board approval. Deja vu.
Yeah.
Deja vu, but not really, because the regions have been neutered a bit after the disaster with Beard and, to a lesser extent, Menzies.
Well, I think there's some quality regions that we have now too.
It's changed up a lot.
Yeah. There's some good.
A lot of UNLV influence on the board.
Way more than UNR. And then there's I think 3 or 4 who didn't go to either school and are not affiliated with either school, meaning they don't teach there, even if they didn't go there. And I think there's some quality regions there. I wouldn't expect that it would be a hindrance if UNLV chooses the Pac-12. I think it would be crazy if UNLV did not. I know Adam Hill differs from me here. I think they'd be crazy not to accept the bid from the Pac-12 and stay in a conference in which they're going to have to backfill with some very small schools with very small, you know, attendance at football games. And, you know, maybe you get somebody like North Dakota State, or South Dakota State, they attend well. But they have, like, no viewership or media market.
Are you basing this on the fact that you really believe there is not going to be much of a penalty or exit fee? Because right now UNLV could be facing, you know, $18 to $30 million to move conferences.
Well, it'd be $17.5 million,
okay,
right? And so what's the difference in the TV deal, right? Somewhere, people speculate, somewhere between $10 and $15 million is what comes in the TV deal for the Pac-12. Mm. The Mountain West is currently at $6 million. And that's with Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Utah State, and Fresno State.
Right.
All of the top earners on TV ratings. So what's their next deal going to look like after 2026? 2 to 3? Yeah. 3 to 4?
So even if you were conservative on the Pac-12 side and said 10. 12,
yeah,
let's go 12, right? Okay. Somewhere in the middle, and then but the Mountain West could slide back to 3. That's $9 million a year.
Yeah.
So that'd be made up in 3 years.
2 years, right?
Well, are they getting 100% of the outlay, or are they getting 80%?
Oh, they gotta get. I mean, if they're gonna accept this move, okay, they gotta get a full share.
Okay.
They gotta get a full share. I mean, but a full share plus paying all the exit fees. I think if I'm the Pac-12, say, okay, you get one or the other. If we're paying your exit fees, then you're at a half share, right, until we recoup that money back. Right. Then we'll do something like that. But we don't pay your exit fees and you come in at full share.
Right.
Especially because you don't have any of the metrics to say that you're going to help our TV deal. In fact, you have the metrics to say that you're going to hurt our TV deal. So, but again, I think it would be crazy for UNLV not to accept it. You know, I know there's whispers of, you know, UNLV's hoping for a Big 12 invite. Yeah, so is everybody else in the Pac-12. They're all in the same boat together.
Will there be, in these deals, will there be some sort of out, or is it going to be another exorbitant exit fee to go to the Big 12?
Yeah, I think that they're
I feel like they're all going to be in the same boat.
They're all going to
so
be
So, like,
same
Oregon State and Washington State are be like, no, 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 and be behind the scenes are like, we want to get the hell out of here, too.
Yeah, exactly. They're all going to be in the same boat, and they don't have a TV contract yet. So there's no way there's, like, right. exit fees right now. That's what I think is crazy about and why I do think each of the Mountain West teams that leads the conference should absolutely legally challenge the exit fees is because it's not tied to the timeline of the TV contract.
I mean, what would the Mountain West do if they're borderline dissolving and have no real estimates of what the next TV deal is? What damages are there? Right?
Right.
All right, Justin, we appreciate it. Thank you. Willie and I continue. We'll get to the eye on sports gambling as we continue to look for plays in Circa Million.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Willie's here. It's Cofield. Willie's got his TikTok running.
I'm getting asked. They announced the quarterback. They've been listening to the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? People keep asking me. I assume 99.9% that it's Haj Malik Williams, so I guess we could be surprised. It could be Cam Friel. But I think Haj Malik has been the two during the regular season. I thought he was 1A or 1B, so I thought he was that close to getting the starting gig from the get-go. I'm not saying Matthew Sluk is not awesome. I think he's a really good player. I think people quoting his passing stats through three games is just stupid.
Yeah.
So it's a loss, but I think Haj Malik can do the job, which makes the dump out of the line on this game pretty intriguing because UNLV hit as high as 4 and some 4.5. So it's now 1.5 UNLV over Fresno State at Allegiant Stadium. I'm assuming, I hope people are kind of listening here, that all this conference realignment stuff is still in the works, right?
Right.
And the metrics they talked about when they passed on UNLV the first time around included attendance for football and basketball games. So I just had someone ask me, how about UNLV put a little effort in to getting NIL donations from the public? Anyone know where the link is? The easy response is, you know what your donation is? Go to the games. That's the easiest link. UNLVtickets.com. Go to the games. But it also a good comment from the same person. I lived in Las Vegas. I've lived in Las Vegas since 1982. It is truly ironic that UNLV is being criticized for not paying a player. How times have changed.
It's funny you bring that up. I was on the phone today three times with a very close friend. Been here since 91 or 92. We met in 93. Neither one of us had kids. Neither one of us were married. He has a grown son who has an MBA from UNLV. Over the years, has become a donor, a booster with season tickets. If you combine what he's donated and his season tickets, he's in for $500,000. Okay. He's a very successful businessman in the sports world. I'm not going to get too deep into who he is, but we were on the phone 3-4 times today. And I will tell you this. I don't know about if he speaks for everybody, but with his son and his friends who are in their early 30s, that are now established with degrees, making money, looking forward to be where their fathers are, whose fathers are donors. There's a lot of people that are not happy with what's going on and saying, if that's true and how they've mishandled this, misrepresented this kid, whatever the case may be, and at the same token, you know, with what this kid, unhappy with both sides, donors are not happy. So I don't know how much the alleged coach and all that, but if it comes out, they better act quickly in deciding what they're doing with him, if they're either going to penalty, suspension, or let him go, because you cannot be throwing those offers out there, not letting your head coach know, throwing them under the bus, having them liable for something that, as Justin said earlier in the show, from a legal standpoint, if they're on the hook for the money, and then fines, if the NCAA fines infractions, from a donor standpoint, this doesn't look too good.
Hi, and Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, just south of Tropicana. Better bet for the Heisman. Cam Ward plus 450. Travis Hunter 15-1. I don't even think there's a need for hesitation here. What's the better bet?
I'm taking Travis Hunter.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Now, I question whether Travis Hunter on a 4 or 5 win team can win the Heisman. But if they get a couple more games and they're at least respectable, 7 wins, and he's doing what he's doing, then he's going to win the Heisman. Now, we talked to, Steve Kim the other day, and he said, hey, you know what? SEC is the best conference, probably going to be the best SEC quarterback. If there's a guy at the end of the year, Travis Hunter finishes with 80 catches and is playing 105 snaps a game and doing what he does on defense, he has to get it.
Yeah.
Now, but if they don't win enough games, so the whole point is here, there's value on Travis Hunter because Colorado could surprise a lot of us and have a better season. The Big 12 is very unpredictable. Nothing has been established so far.
Where's Colorado right now as far as wins?
They're 3-1.
They're 3-1, so they're halfway to bowl eligibility. Mm-hmm. They were not favored to win the Big 12, number one. Number two, they were actually, at media days that we were at,
12th.
12th. That's a losing record.
Wrong. 11th. I think they were 11th and Baylor was 12th.
Well, if they get bowl eligible, that's a win-win for them based on where they were predicted. They're in the postseason. And he should every bit be considered over a team that may be getting in the 12-team playoff.
Right.
That's my...
So you agree for now. Yes. And then if they start losing, then it becomes a little tougher.
For once, we agree on something.
Well, there's going to be probably a disagreement coming up. I would expect it. Okay, well, circa million. We're in that contest, Cofield and Company, the show. We all agreed we were going to do a 1-5 ranking and have relegations. We have a 6th and a 7th and Salerno and Nye are trying to pick their way into the main 5. Each one of us gets a pick. You are in the 5 hole. You are under the most pressure. If you had another loser, you are going to drop out. We went 5-0. That's very impressive.
So I'm still, but so
you're
with
still
that,
in.
So no, but that also means that I'm still on the bottom because everybody else above me.
Yes, you can't move up. Yep.
Yeah, so I can't lose again.
But Nye and Salerno both lost.
Oh,
I think they had Bengals and Browns. Laying the points. No good for them.
Okay.
Okay. My leans right now.
Your leans. Here we go.
Ooh, okay. Well, that changed a lot. When I was putting this list together yesterday, the Falcons were sitting at -1 against the Saints. They're -2.5. Okay, so that changes a little bit for me. Another one is the Packers and the Vikings. I'm on the Packers side. They're still 2.5. What do you think of that one?
I'm on the Packers.
Okay, that could be it. And here's the deal. I actually, even though I'm in the one hole, I actually pick last. Out of respect for all. Well, if you guys waited forever to make your picks, but usually when I send out the number tomorrow, because numbers come out, locked in numbers for Circa, they come out at 10 a.m., and you guys within 15 minutes at least have 3 off the board. Which I like.
Who are the fastest 3?
Justin's been the fastest pretty much every week, and then you're right there. You're right there. Another lean or like for me. I was scoffed at yesterday. Like, why even mess with this game? Browns now +2 against the Raiders.
Line has moved from Cleveland -1 to Vegas -2. Now, I wrote down Raiders -1, not for the contest, for something else. And since then, this morning, it's 2-2. I will find out, what is today, Wednesday? Ooh. Tomorrow I'll get an email or I'll get a text with all the sharp moves that have come in through, it'll be early afternoon, I'll get that. So it'll include Thursday's games.
Okay. Another one I was considering, Chargers plus against the Chiefs. Yesterday was 8.5, now it's 7.5.
Okay.
I'm assuming there's some enthusiasm for the possibility that Herbert's going to play.
Could be, or that they're just, or there could just be buyback because it went from 3.5 to 8. So there's just buyback. It could be that. It could be that simple.
Are they buying into our discussion yesterday, led by Todd McShay, that Travis Kelce hasn't played well? There's a reason he's not playing well, and that's Taylor Swift and his mushiness.
Yeah,
he's a little tubby.
I'm not going to buy into Taylor Swift affecting betting numbers and how Travis Kelce.
The man is soft.
Even though
he's not playing up to the normal level.
Okay.
A lot of appearances, a lot of commercials.
What has to happen?
A lot of partying.
Listen, what has to happen for the Chiefs to get the best out of him? She's got to win an award before at some point so she can go on stage like she did last year, if you remember. Was it the Grammys? Be right before the Super Bowl? And then he said at Media Day to all of us at Allegiant Stadium, he said, well, yeah, now I have to live up to my end of the bargain and bring home a trophy.
Circa Million. Lines will be locked in tomorrow. Looking for five picks. These are my leans and likes so far. And then the last one was the Titans and the Dolphs. The Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Titans a pick. Today, Titans getting one. Another one of those picks, and I will make these picks often, when the rest of the world says someone or some team sucks, I'm strongly on the other side. I don't know why I'm still willing to ride with Will Levis, but I am. And there's also the Dolphins' issues that they have to solve their quarterback situation. And if, Tua is going to be out for at least three more weeks. So I don't feel like, well, they certainly played like hell in Seattle.
That's on Monday. I sure wish that you could do totals in the Circa. There's one game, Steve, in which I don't know how you're going to feel about this.
Here's the thing. I have no right to say that a pick is a bad pick. You got last week I got saved. I wanted the Cowboys. I think it was Griffin who took the Ravens. Took it off the board. Couldn't take the Cowboys.
I like your Jets. I think Denver's going to have a problem going to New York.
You better get in on that one because that was another one of my leans or likes was the Broncos side. Picking against the Jets.
It's going up.
It's 7.5 now, yeah.
Oh, no, it's down. It opened 8. It's down a half point. So, I don't know. I think that defense. I want so bad. Here's the thing. I really want so bad for Bo Nix to sort of get a groove. And I'm not a Sean Payton fan. But for some reason, I just want Bo Nix to at least have a decent, respectable campaign.
He was better last week.
He is. He's improving. But I just
maybe
have
that's the direction he's heading. Maybe he's
this is a tough defense to have to travel to. So I don't know. But I'm with you with the Packers. I think there's a nice chemistry there. I think Malik Willis did what he did, and I think Josh Jacobs. I think there's a balance there with that offense. Gosh, are the Raiders going to wake up? It's hard to say. It is hard to say.
It would be.
I exchanged a couple of messages with one Melva Thompson Robinson today. Mama Melva, okay. Dorian Thompson's
right.
Mom. Be nice if he got in. I doubt that he will. Well, you never know. You never know. What about the Commanders? Or the Commies, as you put it.
Yeah.
+3.5 on the road in Arizona. Talked Monday
Daniels
while we were at our spot. What did I say? I think good. The Rook's going to have a big night, and he did. So I don't think it was a fluke. I really don't. I mean, I know Cincinnati is kind of like, well, maybe they're really not going to be that good. But at the same token, they're Canty on Unsportsman? I think he picked them to win it, and they were talking about that yesterday morning on the show. So I got that one earmarked as well.
How about one more?
Good.
Before we go to the 5 o'clock hour, Ravens 2 against the Bills. I'm not saying either side. I'm just giving you the game.
I have the Bills marked down for that one.
Why?
I don't like the way that Baltimore plays in the fourth quarter, and I do think that Buffalo is. I think Josh Allen is having a decent start to the season. I don't know if it's MVP like just yet, but they're 3-0, and I tell you what, that Baltimore defense in the fourth quarter against the Raiders and then the Cowboys, I don't like it. And it's a primetime game, and I think Buffalo could make a statement there, knowing that Ravens D was picked apart the last 2 weeks in the fourth quarter. And no matter what the score is, they're going to have hope in the fourth quarter.
Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. True local bar, great sports, 24/7 breakfast, excellent menu. They've got Monday Night Football with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs, and it really is a great place for food. The Wednesday dinner special, Wednesdays are always prime rib night. Right now they've got a great special. You mentioned Cofield, you mentioned ESPN Radio. You buy an entree, you get a free dessert. The desserts are not a scoop of ice cream. Okay, their cheesecake is awesome. Ask about it.